are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
It's behind him. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
What is up? What is up? Joined by the infamous Quentin Mills. He's back on the show. Toddy,
I have frozen.
Holding it on. What?
You're frozen.
Gosh damn it.
You got a low budget system.
This camera.
People, we need sponsors. We're running on hand-me-downs.
What is going on with this camera?
I don't know.
Unreal.
Matt, it's starting to soak in. I just watched our intro. I watched Wyatt Langford tie the game in Omaha against UVA, and not going to see that this year.
Nope.
Set in.
You're done. I'm going to have to leave the studio and get back in. I don't know if it's a StreamYard issue or my camera, but you guys dive into the top 25. We've got a brand new number one team in the Tennessee Volunteers, and I'll leave you to that.
Yes, so Tennessee overtakes Texas A&M. We just lost our graphic, Grissom's graphic.
hopefully you memorized that. I think Clemson was 2, Texas A&M was 3.
Give me the top 10, hurry. So A&M avoids a sweep, but they lose 2 out of 3 to LSU. Arkansas goes into Kentucky and just shits the bed Saturday and Sunday, which – gotten a whole Twitter battle there with Matt's friend. He's a loser, doesn't know what he's talking about. No, it's fine. I like the banter. ECU, another dominating performance. They're creeping up close to that top 5. Oregon State finally wins a road series in what felt like an entire season. Florida State kind of bounced back. UVA, idle. They're one of the only teams that doesn't play versus anybody during finals week. I think it's a little weird, but it is something that they do there in Charlottesville. Or maybe it was the protest. I don't know. I didn't follow that hard. But
I think Duke was – no, Duke played.
Did North Carolina play?
No. North Carolina didn't play. I knew there was another team that they were off this week.
Yeah, Duke had somebody a little lower competition, and so did Wake Forest.
Duke played Longwood. I think Wake Forest played like Wake Forest Community College or something. Yeah. I don't know. They should have dropped in the rankings personally. There's a lot of teams that are starting to climb. Mississippi State, man, they were unranked and now they're at 14. South Carolina at 13. Matt, we touched on Tennessee. Clemson sliding up in the 2 spot over A&M, which I don't know how I feel about that one, to be honest. I know Clemson's had a good season or sitting at 36-10, but I think you've got to put more stock into the loss against LSU. You didn't lose at home. I don't care if LSU's 10-36 or 36-10. Alex Box Stadium is always a sellout. It's hard to play there. And listen, they still have top talent there in Louisiana. I don't know, man. To see A&M fall behind Clemson just seems to me I guess the right way I would say it is wrong. I don't think Clemson has played to the level A&M has. Even though Clemson wins their weekend series and A&M loses on the road, I still think A&M's the better team.
I agree.
Yep.
And my argument for Arkansas, I dropping from 2 to 5 because you lost to 8 on the road, I could have made it an easy case for Tennessee, Texas A&M, Arkansas to still be 1, 2, 3. And I think at the end of the season in 2 weeks,
I think they would have just rotated.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I get it, right?
Good. 36-10, though, in the ACC. I'm putting SEC over them.
I mean, they blew a lead against Clemson. Against Georgia Tech. They were up like 9 runs. And you blew it. Now, and again, I get Georgia Tech's kind of been on a little run here lately. They beat UVA. Then they beat Louisville last year. But, again, Arkansas loses to the number 8 team in the country. Clemson blows a 9 or 10 run lead against Georgia Tech, who's unranked. And they I guess they dominated Sunday, but it was real, you know, it was pretty close. I think the score started getting out of hand towards the end, but I can't see Clemson being the second best team in the country, even if it's just for a week. It, like you said, it should be Tennessee, A&M, and Arkansas.
And then Kentucky should have been four, right where they're at. And then
I think Kentucky's four, and I think Clemson's five.
Yeah, I agree.
And again, you can't bash Clemson for winning, but you also can't penalize teams for being better. And I think in the grand scheme of things, teams are better.
Which is kind of crazy because this is one of the biggest shakeups in the top eight that we've had all season long. I mean, D1 there for the longest time, they didn't punish teams for losing a series, especially a series on the road. And now all of a sudden you get punished, you know, looking at Texas A&M and Arkansas, like, wait, what? Why did we drop out when it's our first, you know, series loss in God knows how long? I mean, I don't know that. I just kind of thought it was shocking, but you could make the case that Kentucky deserved to be better than Arkansas, I guess, just because of head to head. But nobody can sit here and tell me that if the role was reversed and Kentucky was coming to bomb Walker this weekend, that Kentucky would win that series again. So on a neutral, I think Arkansas is a better team. Although they didn't have it this weekend, I admit that. I kind of vented last night. For those of you that caught the show with Noah and Johnny, Dave Van Horn was very just blah in his post game, and I didn't like it. He basically made excuses that, you know, we've played a lot of games. Our guys are tired. Just kind of accepting the defeat going into Sunday's game. And I'm not sure what's happened with Brady Tigert and Mason Molina, but they don't look as dominant here lately. I think both of their three starts, they're all, you know, pretty rough outings. Tigert did kind of turn it around, but then this past weekend he wasn't good. So when Gage Wood came in and Dave Van Horn was asked a question, you know, Gage got a lot of good innings out of him. He ate up some innings. Dave was quick to say Gage didn't just eat up innings. Gage is coming for somebody's job. And we're kind of all shaking our head like, who would that be? Is it Tigert? Is it Molina? Is it maybe Will McIntyre is kind of that game one long reliever? We'll see. But the pitching depth is still there. The hitting on the road, which we'll get into in a little bit, it's still a huge concern for me. And I think people that want to chalk it up like Batesy did about, you know, that's life on the road to a certain extent, but this is bad. And we'll get into the analytics of it here shortly. But
yeah.
Anything else to round out the top 25?
I just like some of those teams that are jumping up. You know, Q was high on Arizona, I think, about a week ago. His teams, you know, they're still up there. Oklahoma's really come out of nowhere, playing good up to 18. Troy, two straight really good weekends for them against Coastal. But everybody's beating Coastal right now. But Troy is playing good baseball, too.
I added the Bet Rivers to make the College World Series because I was asked a question of which of the four SEC teams that are sitting at the top with Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, which one would you bet on right now to make the College World Series? And I think it's funny that Tennessee is still plus money. Now, it's plus 105, but I'm looking at Texas A&M and Arkansas both now minus 130, minus 134 to make it. I think Tennessee is right up there with them. So while you're still able to get a little bit of value on Tennessee, I think that's a ticket worth having. Now, obviously, it's all going to come down to the matchups of who's in the super regional opposite of them, or who's in the regional opposite of them to host in the super regional. But I still think Tennessee is going to be a tough out when you're talking about getting through the regional round. If they're hosting, it's going to be hard to beat Tennessee and Lindsey Nelson, best two out of three. Y'all agree?
Yeah, I agree. I'll say this because I've seen them multiple years. Tennessee's tough to beat in Omaha as well. I know they haven't had the success that maybe they wanted, but, you know, they ran into a kind of a destiny, the Steven Scoach team in 2021, I believe it was, 22. They just ran into a destiny Notre Dame kind of magical Cinderella run. But when they do make Omaha, like, they pitch very well. The pitching aspect, some teams just kind of shit the bed, you know, on the mound out there. It's a big stage, but they've really kept it together. Their problem out in Omaha has been offense. And to me, the way Blake Burke is hitting almost 400, Christian Moore is slugging the ball. You know, you've got other guys like Cannon Peebles. You've got Billy Amick. Like, for a team that has done pretty well and just kind of gotten bad draws in terms of playoff baseball, I'm really starting to lean that Tennessee might be more dangerous than maybe A&M and Arkansas right now, because they've shown the ability to pitch. Their ability is, or inability has been hitting, and this team is just slugging. Doesn't matter who you throw out there. I mean, it could be Randy Johnson, and I think that they could, you know, somehow find a way to hit. And the way this year, like, there's not an LSU, there's not a Florida, you know, where it's just like an all-star team. They, to me, are the most consistent offense to combine with a, I don't want to say elite pitching staff, but it, definitely above average. Tennessee might be the favorite, in all honesty, to win this College World Series. Vitello's got those boys clicking in every single aspect.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, so we were talking about Texas A&M being a very well-balanced team. Tennessee ranks second in team hitting, and they're seventh in team pitching. Right now, A&M is fourth in team pitching, third in hitting. So very comparable to Tennessee. The one thing I would say is I feel like Tennessee, they've been there before. And not to say that Jim Schlossnagel is not a good coach that could do that, but
it's a different team.
I'm afraid A&M may have peaked a little too soon, and I think LSU really exploited some issues out of A&M. This is a team that, you know, looking at the resume, the Aggies haven't really just wowed you in one series, in my opinion. Which I guess you could say the same for Tennessee. We were talking last night. You know, it's a double-edged sword. You're given the benefit of the doubt. Arkansas and A&M have not had to face Tennessee. Tennessee has not had to face Arkansas or A&M. Sure. Granted, the last game of the season is going to be Texas A&M hosting Arkansas, which is going to tell us a lot about those two teams. But who's to say that an Arkansas versus Tennessee or a Texas A&M versus Tennessee wouldn't tell us something too? Benefit of Tennessee, they're not going to have to do that, at least not until the SEC tournament, which at that point, who really cares? Because if you reach in the title game, you probably don't want to win it. History would tell you that either way. But round it out, top 25, I did, like I said, include the to make the College World Series. One number that has just really stuck out to me is Mississippi State, still 50-1 plus 600 to make the College World Series. This is a team that's playing really well. They've got a pretty solid offense. And if they get Nate Dom back, I don't know as far as their pitching staff. Herangelo Cinci is pretty solid as a game two guy. Cal Steffen's been good in their Friday night role. But if they get Nate Dom back, this is a dangerous team. And I think you could say the same thing for Georgia, who's sitting there at comparable odds. I mean, are you buying any of these mid-tier SEC schools to really make a run to Omaha?
I think Mississippi State, I wouldn't. After this season, I don't even know if they're a mid-tier, to be honest. I think they're maybe in tier two. Obviously, Tennessee, A&M, Arkansas are your tier ones. I think tier two is Clemson, Kentucky, ECU, Oregon State, you know, those teams. And I think Mississippi State's making a serious run. You look at the team, I mean, Dakota Jordan's been mashing the ball all year. Hunter Hines is just starting to get torching hot here towards the end. He kind of had a little slow season. Their leadoff hitter, he grinds out every at bats. He irritates me. He's got double oven mitts. He looks like he's wearing soccer shorts out there. Like, but he's such a good ball player, switch hitter. Their pitching staff has done really well. You know, you can play that lefty-righty matchup with Gerangelo, you know, like you said, Cale Stevens has pitched really well. Like, to me, this is the Mississippi State team that's starting to click like the 2021 team. I'm not saying they're as talented, but I think they're similarly compared in terms of the grit, the grinding, and they can make some serious, you know, waves. And I think that plus 600 is a steal, because they're going to be a two. Well, I mean, they're going to host, and then obviously they're going to go on the road, but I don't think them playing on the road matters to them in postseason baseball. They're able to do it. They've went into other places on the road and won. And so I think they're a very dangerous and grimy team that you should really put some money on. I probably will after this show, to be honest.
And they close the season. They're at Arkansas this weekend, but then they get Missouri at home. So this team could very easily be in that top 10, top 12, depending on their series with Arkansas, which I feel like it's in desperation mode right now for the Hogs to get this series win this weekend, especially knowing that A&M's sitting there waiting for you in College Station in 2 weeks. So I think even if they take one of the three against the Razorbacks, you're going to stay put in that position. And then if a sweep by Missouri or a sweep against Missouri probably launches them right there above like a Duke or Virginia, North Carolina, because you've got that pack of ACC schools that are all, in my opinion, kind of second tier to what Florida State is. Although Jamie Arnold didn't look very good this past weekend, and that was kind of surprising to me. His stats, you know, would say that he's right up there with some of the best aces in the country. The Aces don't lose, though, and he did. Conference leaders. I wanted to throw something else up there because I know a lot of us have futures bets. A lot of you listening, if you tuned into the shows, you probably follow it a lot on our conference futures. But I did the Power Five, and we've got some very tight races here. Clemson sitting at 17-1. So is North Carolina, or 17-7, with North Carolina leading the ACC. Do you remember what you have on ACC? Did you bet an ACC winner?
Yeah, I know Wake Forest, that's a loss. And I believe I put a little bit on Virginia. I mean, if Virginia wins their next two series, if they sweep, that it's possible. But I right now, I think it's North Carolina or Clemson's. They're just too far ahead. I think I took Texas Tech in the Big 12. That's a write-off. None of us chose Illinois.
Indiana was like my backup pick to Iowa. Yeah. They're still in it. But they've got to go at Nebraska and then Michigan. That's
Hoosiers. They don't stop, guys. They don't stop. They're going to compete.
Oregon State, I was pretty heavy on. None of us thought Arizona was going to be well. You would need Arizona to drop both Utah and Oregon State series for Oregon State to take that. SEC, I had Florida and Arkansas. So, I mean, I'm kind of sitting on the Arkansas right now.
Well, I hope that it works out where Florida gets that series win against Kentucky, who may be fat and happy now, and then they have to play Vanderbilt, who I feel like is going to be pretty desperate to get a series win too, even though it's going to be in Lexington. I just don't know if they're going to get up. I mean, hell, they weren't up for our series. A lot of people say, you know, that's the Kentucky Derby. I don't buy that a lot of people that live in Lexington – and our big Kentucky Wildcat fans, they probably don't go to the Kentucky Derby. Maybe the first couple years that it's there, but like once you live there, I don't know. I may be completely wrong, but
I think it's probably, yeah, it's a big deal. I think they probably have more house parties than anything, but let's put things in a retrospect. Kentucky baseball is not a powerhouse, so like their fan base, yeah, it looks kind of shiny right now, but it's not like they have the most loyal fans either. So I know it was Kentucky Derby. I know it's a holiday, but you're also not a blue blood either. So it's not like you're expected 10,000 fans every time. Sorry, I'm multitasking as we're going along. I just wanted to see where before this weekend they had Mississippi State D1 projected.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Shawnee. That's what I thought. Yeah, house parties.
Did I just miss them?
All right. Well,
they have them as a two seed.
Yeah.
There is no way Mississippi State will be a two seed. They are a 16 seed.
Ba-da-ba-da-da. Tennessee is my up. Shocker. This is the best team in college baseball right now.
Yeah.
Right now. They're the most complete team, 39-9. And then it's kind of laughable. I've got Arkansas as my down. I'm just This is terrible. This team.
Well, I thought it was a series they should win.
This was a series that they should have won. Dave Van Horn had other plans. I feel like it was maybe a Jim Schlossnagel, Dave Van Horn, like, hey, let's throw this series on the road and just rest our guys, and then we'll duke it out last weekend. On the road, Arkansas's weighted runs created plus, where the average is 100. They're 70. They're hitting 30% worse than average on the road. They're 120 at home, so 20% above average. OPS on the road, 0.672. At home, 0.921. Pitching, which is where Arkansas hangs their hat. At home, a 304 ERA, 234 Sierra. On the road, 464 ERA, 349 Sierra. Almost a whole run worse on both. This is a completely Jekyll and Hyde team from on the road to at home. I don't know. You can make the case, yeah, well, we should be at home through the regionals and the super regionals. That's not good enough for me. You've still got to go to Omaha. You've still got to perform outside of Baum Walker Stadium. I'm real tired of acting like, oh, well, as long as we can win at Baum, we'll be fine. Do you want to win it all or do you not? Because I can tell you right now, Tennessee's batting 1,000 OPS on the road and 1,100 at home. We're not anywhere close. We're not even close to that.
Omaha, you might be there for 2 weeks, but it's still on the road. And I think people kind of forget that. You know, yeah, is it the grand stage and you have 40,000 Arkansas fans, or pretty much every SEC school goes? I think they cancel beach trips to go. But it's still a bigger park than a lot of teams play in. It's a road game. There's still the other fan base that's traveling too. And Smitty, I don't mean to cut you off. We'll get you in the show here. But the argument that we were having with Bates, and I get what he's saying, right? There is life on the road. It should always be assumed that home teams will always perform better than on the road. That is a given in any sport. You're in your home facility. You're in your comfort zone. You're in your fan base. You're in your environment. And that's why Miami Dolphins play so well in September when it's 107 on the sidelines, but then they go to Buffalo and they shit the bed. It's just, there's so many factors. So that's a given. And I get it's an anomaly. It's a little higher this year, and I get that. The numbers will even out next year. That's just how it goes. But good teams win on the road. And the whole argument was, well, that's life on the road. Well, it's not for Tennessee. Tennessee's 3-1 in their 4 road series. Life's pretty good. They're booking Holiday Inn Express, saving money. I mean, if they can do it, why can't Arkansas? You know, Arkansas is just as good. It comes down to not just life on the road. And maybe they do, you know, and again, I think that's another topic. There are some theories that you could throw on, but Arkansas is too good to lose that series to Kentucky, in my opinion. They were the better team. They didn't perform. It's lackluster. Their offense, even at home, to me, isn't what it should be. The guys still, I think the stats get padded. They go 11-1 on one game, but then they shit the bed when it matters most. Like, what are clutch hits? If we can find that stat, are they just getting a lot of wasted stats, like filler stats? Like, that's kind of curious that I'd like to see. But I do think there is some sort of theory, especially in college baseball, because you see it with the RPI, right? There's a 10% chance of rain, games get canceled so they don't mess their RPI up. It's a crock, but that's, they can get away with it. It's a loophole. And then it doesn't even rain a drop in Hattiesburg or wherever it is. The numbers are back in it. The 1999 Miami Hurricanes are the last team to be a number one seed to win it. At some point, like, you got to think it's in the coach's mindset. We got to drop one here. Like, we're going on 25 years of consistent data. They'll never admit it, but you have to think it's a consideration. So maybe this was the week.
I don't know. I mean, a 40-win season is nothing to shake your head over, but
no, but you don't want to be the one seed either.
We won every single midweek game.
You don't want to be the one seed. Look at one of the greatest teams in college baseball was the 22 Tennessee Volunteers. They didn't even make Omaha.
Yeah.
They were a one seed. They had as close to perfect as you could have. and they still couldn't get it done.
It is a problem for me because pitching, I did not, until I dove into the numbers, I didn't realize how our pitching staff is not good. And that's the one facet of the game that is supposed to travel well. You can take good pitchers on the road. Good pitching is what anchors this Arkansas team's success. So the minute that you are not pitching at an elite level, it's worrisome. We know about the hitting. That's fine. You can overcome bad hitting days by really good pitching.
To an extent.
But this was bad. Well, yeah, you can't. You could win.
Kendall Diggs batting 230.
1-0. Yeah. But I would rather take the team that can win a game 1-0 than take the team that has to go, you know, score 14 runs to come back and win, i.e. like a Clemson.
But we'll move on after this, but I do think Dave Van Horn messes around with the lineup too much. I think he tries to get too many guys to swing. There's no consistency. You got to get some at-bats. And Smitty will agree. Like, you look at some of the Pirates players, like, they just consistently play them as young guys. And I know it's a Major League Baseball reference, but they start to turn it around towards the end of the season. They don't have, oh, you're going to play this series, but then Joe's going to play this series, and then you're going to play the next two series, and then we're going to bring another guy. Like, at what point are you getting consistency? You know, and I get everybody's got to play for those pinch hitting situations, but he's messing with them entirely too much to where it seems like the guys can't get any groove. And I think he's got to stop. You got to find your 9 or 10 guys and just run with them and let them figure their groove out and start getting at bats.
I agree. You benched the guys.
And I think the one thing real quick, you know, with the pitching staff, Molina is coming off an injury. I think he skipped the start. So, you know, is he 100% healthy? And, you know, they lost one series. I mean, I think I agree with you guys. The hitting is an issue. They just don't score a ton of runs, and that's a concern. But the one, Matt, you said it, I was going to bring it up. You know, they do beat those midweek games. They're undefeated on those. So that's a key thing. I think Arkansas is going to be fine. But again, the bats better wake up. The bats better wake up. And like you said, the second and third starter better figure it out here too. You can't just – Smith can't pitch every game for you.
No.
And all right. I like him, but the Parker Rowland experience needs to stop. And the fact that he was the third string catcher, DH, and batting 250, that's – you got to put Nolan Souza back in there. The kid's got pop in his bat. I don't know what the deal was with that. That was like accepting defeat. But anyways, Q, let me hear
I'll keep it short and sweet. I know we're running a little long this week. Mississippi State, I just talked about them at length at the top 25 screen. Man, they're just a dog. They're just a down and dirty baseball dirt dog. And right now at plus 600 to make the College World Series, I think is great value. The last 5 or 6 weeks, to me, there has been value, but I think you're starting to see it. I think Mississippi State is a dangerous, like I said, D1 baseball had him as a 2 seed. I see him being a regional host. I just, unless they get, you know, lose the next 2 series, I don't see how you consider them a non top 16 team. What they've shown, the bounce back that they've had, they're just a gritty team that, man, I'll tell you, they are probably one of the top 10 most dangerous teams right now. And like I said, you're getting Hunter Hines to finally go on all cylinders with Dakota Jordan. That's an incredible 1-2 punch. You know, and then Florida, Smitty and I think all of us were high. I think a lot of the country was high on them with the exception of 11.7. Got to give them credit for seeing that drop off. I thought there would be a slight drop off when you lose guys like BT Riopelle, Josh Rivera, Wyatt Langford, and others, but I didn't see this drop off. I mean, it's just not working out offensively. Defensively is not working. The pitching, you know, isn't working. Now, I think what we've seen Capala, I pray to God he comes back. He's got an extremely high ceiling. He throws elite stuff. I hope he comes back fully healthy because I think him and Liam Peterson next year could come into their own. I thought Liam Peterson looked incredible against Tennessee. I think he had a one-hit performance through 3 or 4 innings. Just the experience those two could bring for next year would be incredible. But overall, this year was a dumpster fire, and there's several guys I want transferring off the team, if not graduating. So rest in peace. It was a tough year.
Todd.
All right, Kentucky. You know I like this team. I love the state of Kentucky. So now the one thing with this team, losing as bad as they did Friday night, you know, again, that's a tough ask against Smith. But they came back. They outscored them 18-7 the last two games. So I just thought that was something really good, getting blown out on Friday night, rebounding and coming back and taking care of business. So, and then again, I'm going to say this against South Carolina. I know they lost the series. They blew a game Friday night. They should have won that series. So it should have been back-to-back series there. They won, so but they didn't. So that happened. So, and then Vandy, you know, Vandy, I kind of like too, but very disappointed. I mean, they just, they got blown out this weekend. I mean, they're 4-6 in their last 10, outscored 35-11 to Georgia. I mean, it was an ugly weekend for Vandy. So a really down performance by them.
I'll tell you what, they're going to have to play on the road as a 2-seed. If anybody in the country lays money for Vanderbilt to win a regional outside of Nashville, Tennessee, donate it to our tip button on our Linktree, because that is free money. They might be the worst SEC road team. They get swept. They don't even have a game where they're competitive. They're one of the worst road teams.
None of us called the sweep in the SEC series pick 'em.
This is crazy.
No, and I brought up because that one girl, Q, who's that beat reporter?
Aria Gerson.
Yeah, I mean, she put a couple of weeks ago about Cunningham, the splits, you know, how he's so much better at home than on the road. And yeah, it sure
night and day, man.
Yep.
Well,
hey, I wouldn't even put it past Vanderbilt to lose. They're out of the hosting possibility now, but like,
oh yeah,
they got beat by Oregon last year, and we said they were fraudulent.
Matt, you're running away with this. What are you, 7 points up?
I can't see that small.
I think it's
crazy. I was going to say, I can't see that small either. So
it's 89. So I'm 10 points ahead of Smitty, 7 points ahead of you. Well, but Ole Miss is what saved me this past weekend.
Last weekend saved you. You were about 18 down.
Yeah. Clean sweep. And I knew, Q, because you weren't here. Our picks were so similar.
That's why I went opposite on Ole Miss, because I probably would have picked Auburn 2-1. And then
LSU, I would have picked LSU 2-1. Yeah.
Went opposite just to try to get some points. It worked out. But South Carolina didn't get the sweep. That hurt Smitty a little bit. Oof. Missouri, man, when Jaden Pimentel is on the mound, Missouri is a decent
team. I had to correct no on this. He pitched 15 pitches.
Really?
Yeah, he got pulled. That was a Carter Roustad gem. That's concerning.
Well,
that's 2 weeks. He missed last week, left early this week. Carolina just shit the bed.
I was a little worried yesterday with South Carolina getting down early. I was like, come on, boy, I need a comeback, which they did, and it helped there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Can we say real quick how exciting that Arizona State game was?
Dude, that Arizona State game, 21-18. I got to go back. I think there was 15 home runs in that game. I'm watching on like the streamcast, and next thing I know, like the teams are going ahead of each other, and then it flips. 30 seconds later, it's like 3-run bomb. And you're like, this is crazy. Oh. They traded 7 and 6 run innings. I mean, it was like the Scottsdale Little League All-Star team graciously donated the arms for today's rubber match.
Yep.
It was bad.
That is like my son's T-ball score.
They played in Williamsport last night.
All right. And then last but not least, we've got the week 13 lineup card. 15 ranked Georgia is going on the road to take on number 13 South Carolina. That should be a good one. A little battle for probably third place in the East, second place in the East. Arizona is taking on Utah. Arizona Wildcats, a team that I guess we're backing now. Any chance you take them 10-1 though to make the College World Series? That was another one on the front page that their odds, man, they still super long odds, which it's the Pac-12, so I get it. But number 2, Clemson, this is going to be a fun series. I think Wake Forest, they knocked Clemson down a little bit. I could definitely see the Deacs taking this series, but number 2 Clemson takes on number 12 Wake Forest. followed by number 9, Duke, taking on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's kind of been one of those sneaky teams that they're off and on week in and week out. We'll see if the Yellow Jackets can take care of Duke. Kentucky at Florida. This is one I cannot wait for the SEC pick'em. I just think Kentucky is – they're due for a letdown now. They had a big series win. They're losing on the road to Florida. NC State, Virginia, number 1, Tennessee, going to Vanderbilt. This potentially may be like a letdown spot for Tennessee. I'm not sure. Vitello may pull the Dave Van Horn, Jim Schlossnagel. Hey, let's throw the series so we don't get the number 1 seed. 14th ranked Mississippi State coming to town. I'll be up there Friday night. Can't wait. Hagan Smith Day. After that, who knows? I don't have a whole lot of faith. I think Mississippi State's playing really, really good right now. This is going to be a tough series. And then last but not least, Texas A&M is going on the road again to take on Ole Miss. They probably bounce back, take care of business, but we will see. Anything else? We did run long.
That Georgia, South Carolina, you want to talk about a home run derby down there at Founders Park. That's going to be incredible. Obviously, the Charlie Condon, you know, he's 2-1 away. So I'm sure they'll have, you know, kind of the Caglione home run watch like they did last year to break the record. It's going to happen. It's just, does it happen Friday or Saturday or Sunday? You know, I know I say this realistically, Florida's done, but mathematically they're not. So in terms of desperation, like this is a series that Florida really needs to win. And it is a perfect recipe. Kentucky's fat and happy. They just went to the top 4 team. They, you know, big series at home. Do they drop it? Things happen. Desperation teams can win. And it's a big series for UVA. Get back on the board. I think Arkansas will be fine. I think they take the series 2-1. Just a quick preview. And Arizona, man, they're playing for a hosting spot. There's always an out west team. And right now there's 2 teams running for that, in my opinion. It's Oregon State and Arizona. And right now, Arizona's leading the Pac-12. So the winner of the Pac-12 is getting that. So Arizona's got a lot to play for because they're playing really well at home. And it's crazy. If you look on our website, collegebaseballinsiders.com, Arizona's got like a top 10 pitching staff in Sierra. It's crazy. I mean, it's not just Jackson Kent. And they lost in May last year. And I think they had like a 9.5 team ERA last year. But now they're one of the best pitching teams quietly. So good for them. And it should be an exciting last 2 weeks, man. Anything can happen. This is kind of like the witching hour of college baseball is the last couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, could Florida replicate the magical Ole Miss 2022 season where they're sub 500 in the SEC and they still have all the talent in the world? I mean, you look back, Ole Miss, I think, was top 5, top 10 that year, completely fell off. Dropped out of the top 25, I think, by week 6. But you knew that the tools were all still there. They ended up, you know, turning it around midseason and caught their strike. I don't know if that's in the cards for Florida. I don't know if they have the pitching staff that Ole Miss had, but they're still super talented. That's why I think that they'll beat Kentucky this weekend. I just don't think Kentucky is going to be able to mash like Florida does. And I feel like Florida's got a lot of just pent-up stress from the season. You start off so good and it's not been good. So I feel like they just really use this opportunity to take care of a probably overranked number 4 Kentucky team. Y'all don't come for me, Todd. I know you're big on the Kentucky fans here, but
oh, I love those great people in the state of Kentucky.
7 million people, 7 last names. I'll leave you with that. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in. My family's from Kentucky. That's why I can talk shit. Enjoyed it. Sorry we ran long. We'll see you Thursday night for the week 13 preview show. Cheers, y'all.